I would like to say good evening to everyone. I thank y'all for this honor and this privilege. Can y'all hear me through the mic?
Hello?
Okay, there it is. Okay. All right, well, as we were just reading about Peter, as y'all probably know, that's who we're going to be going over. And throughout this whole summer, we've been going over different biblical characters, and we've been looking at their lives throughout the scriptures. We've been looking at some successes as well as some failures in their lives. But tonight, we want to focus on the Apostle Peter. And we just want to see how he came to be the great Apostle Peter as we know him today. If y'all would please turn with me to John 1, starting at verses 35 through 42. And if Seth, oh wait, he's over there. Josh, could you please read verses 40 through 42, please? Oh, but before that, so the three things that I want to go over for Peter are, firstly, how did Peter start off? Secondly, how did he fall? But thirdly, and most importantly, how did he get back up? And I just want to make some applications and see what we can apply to our lives today. Okay, Josh?
John 1, 40 through 42.
Yes, sir.
One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated to Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated as stone.
Thank you, brother. And so as we've just heard read in our hearing, we first get introduced to the Apostle Peter in John chapter 1. And this is a very unique couple verses because we get to read about him. The first thing that I gained from this is that Peter, he was a truth seeker. He went and he sought out the truth. Because in these verses, we read that Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, had went and told his brother that he had found the Messiah, that he had found the truth. And keep in mind that this was the Messiah that had been prophesied for thousands of years. Now, put yourself in Peter's shoes. What if your brother came up to you and told you that he had found the Messiah? Would you believe him? Or would you just take his word for it? Or would you do like Peter and go out and seek the truth for yourselves? Just like Peter, we too need to be seeking the truth for ourselves and not just believing what anybody has to say, no matter who they are. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21, "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good." And we have a biblical account of the nobles Bereans doing this in Acts 17 and verse 11. In which the Bible reads, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so." And keep in mind that the apostle Paul was preaching to them, and he was an inspired apostle or messenger from Christ. And even though he was inspired, they still went and searched the scriptures to see whether he was telling the truth or not. So nowadays, we need to be doing the same thing and searching the scriptures. And I also think of the account found in 1 Kings chapter 13 about the man of God. And if y'all could please turn with me there to 1 Kings chapter 13. And we're not going to read all the verses, but I would just like to sum up this chapter for y'all. Okay. Now, in 1 Kings chapter 13, we read about a man of God. And we read about in verses 7 through 10 about after the man of God had healed King Jeroboam's withered hand that the king had offered him or invited him to his house so that he could get refreshed. And the king even also offered him a reward. But as some of y'all know, earlier in the chapter, God had commanded the man of God neither to eat bread, nor drink water, nor even return the same way which he came. So, as he should have, the man of God denied the king's offer. And then later in the chapter, in verses 11 through 19, after the man of God had refused the king's offer, an old prophet found him. And the old prophet came up to him and he basically offered him the same thing. And the man of God refused him as well. But as we keep reading on through the chapter, the old prophet lied to the man of God. He deceived him and he said that an angel came and told him that he was to take him back to his house so that he could eat and drink bread. Now, I want to read verses 23 through 24 in which the Bible clearly shows us what happens when we go against the command of God Almighty. In verse 23, the Bible reads, "So it was after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk that he saddled the donkey for him, the prophet whom he had brought back. When he was gone, a lion met him on the road and killed him. And his corpse was thrown on the road, and the donkey stood by it. The lion also stood by the corpse." Now, the man of God, instead of searching out the truth like Peter himself did, he didn't even go and try to pray to God or even consult another prophet, but rather he took the old prophet's word and totally rejected what the Lord had commanded him. And no wonder Peter would write about, okay, and in our text we read that the man of God had got killed by a lion. And since we're talking about Peter and lions right here, no wonder Peter would go on to write in 1 Peter 5 in verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." And so we too, like Peter, need to be truth seekers and seeking out what the word of the Lord has said. Okay. Now, since we've talked about how Peter started off seeking truth, I would also like to mention about how Peter started off having true biblical faith. And we read about this in Luke 5, verses 1 through 11. And if y'all could please turn there with me. Again, that's Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And Nate, could you please read verses 4 through 5? Yes, and to give y'all the context real quick, this was just after Jesus had just got done teaching some multitudes from Simon Peter's boat. Go on, brother. Thank you. And so just like we read about in verse 5, Peter had been toiling all night and he caught nothing. Now let's compare that to our lives. How many nights have we toiled, not just one night, but many nights? And at the end of it, we gain absolutely nothing. Why? Well, it may be that we are trying to solve our own problems according to our own wisdom when we should be leaning on God's wisdom. We should be seeking the Almighty's advice. No wonder Solomon would write in Proverbs 3, "Lean not on your own understanding." And at the end, later in verse 5, just like how Peter said, "Nevertheless, at your word, he was going to let down that net," we too need to be able to take God at his word and be able to, and be able to do what he says, even when we don't understand how it's going to work out. For we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. And Nate, could you please read verse 8 also, since you're already there? Yes. And then I'm going to need you to read verse 11 here in a minute too, okay? So as was just read into our hearing, Luke 5 and verse 8, and just like how Peter was humble, he had that humble heart and that he confessed that he had sinned, we too need to be able to confess that we've sinned, when we've sinned. And we need to be able to admit that we need the Lord, we need Jesus, and that we can't do it by ourselves. Verse 11, please.
So when they had brought their boats to land, they were sent off and all.
Thank you. Now, just like Peter and the other disciples, how they had forsook all and abandoned the ships that they were with, we too need to learn how to forsake anything that is hindering us from giving ourselves to the cause of Christ fully. Because Jesus would say in Luke 9 and verse 23, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And we would do well to do that wholeheartedly. Now, when talking about how Peter started off, we first mentioned about how he had true biblical faith. And we also mentioned about how he was seeking the truth. But I cannot fail to mention about how close he was with the Lord. And if we could please, and if y'all could please meet me in John 6, verse 60 through 69. And in this passage, we read about the closeness that Peter had with the Lord. Isaac, could I please get you to read John 6 and verse 60, please? Thank you. And if we remember that earlier in this same chapter, Jesus had just told his disciples that they needed to eat his flesh and drink his blood. But when we go down to verse 63, we read that Jesus said, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." So we come to realize that he was speaking metaphorically. He was speaking figuratively, and that it wasn't literal. And then going down to verse 66, the Bible reads, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you also want to go away?' But now please notice with me in verses 68 through 69 about the closeness that we read about how Peter was close with the Lord. The Bible reads in verse 68, "But Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" Now, unlike the other people who just came there to get their physical needs met, Peter and the rest of the disciples came there to get a spiritual healing from the Lord that day. And no wonder Peter would go on to write in 2 Peter 1, starting at verse 16, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain." Now, in the verses that I just read to y'all, Peter was referencing the mountain of transfiguration that we read about in Matthew 17, verses 1 through 5. And if we remember, there was only three disciples that went up with Jesus that day on that mountain, and Peter was one of them. So we understand the closeness that Peter had with the Lord. And just like Peter, we need to be able to desire and even put forth the effort to become closer and closer with our Lord every day, no matter the cost. James would write in verse 4 and verse 8, if we draw closer to God, then He will draw closer to us. And now, since we've talked about how Peter started off, I would not be doing Peter justice if I did not talk about how he fell. And we read about this in John, in Matthew 14, starting at verses 25 through 32. If y'all could please turn with me there. Now, the Bible reads in Matthew 14, starting at verse 25 through 32. It says, "Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried out for fear, saying," "But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' So he said, 'Come.' And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased." Now remember, we had just talked about how Peter started off being close with the Lord. And here in Matthew 14, we read of a prime example of this, because in verses 28 through 29, we read that by the word of the Lord, by the command of the Lord, Peter was able to walk upon physical water. Now, that takes a lot of faith. Would y'all say that Peter had a great amount of faith right there? And speaking about faith, how do we get faith? Well, Romans 10 and verse 17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And also, I find it interesting that it only took one word from the Lord for Peter to be able to walk. Because remember, all Jesus said was "come," and he was able to walk upon that water. And in verse 38, this is where we see Peter starting to fall. Because the Bible says, "But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.'" What do you think caused Peter to sink? Well, in verse 31, we read that according to Jesus, it was because he doubted. It was because he doubted. This makes me think of what James would write in James 1, verses 6 through 7. "For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord." You see, brethren, if Peter would have not doubted that night, he would have been able to make it all the way to the Lord. But you see, doubt always draws us away from the Lord and never closer to Him. Now that we talked about how Peter doubted, I also want to talk about how Peter denied the Lord as well. If y'all could please turn y'all's Bible with me to Matthew chapter 26, starting at verse 31. Okay. Now, in verse 33, the Bible reads, "Then Jesus said to them, 'All of you will be made to stumble. All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' And then Peter would answer and say to him, 'Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble.'" And pause. Sometimes the reason that we stumble is because we're not humble. Also, just like Peter, sometimes we may act instead of thinking how we should act and filtering it through the scriptures. Because all throughout Peter's life that we read in the scriptures, we see him acting instead of thinking how he should act. And we would take, and it would be good for us to take heed of that. And also, this is a prime example of how God tells us exactly what is going to happen, but we choose to lean on our own understanding instead of the Almighty's understanding. Now, picking up in verse 36 of our text, the Bible reads in Matthew 26, verse 36, Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." And then in the next verse, we read about how Jesus goes and prays to the Father. He goes and prays to the Father. But when he came back to the disciples, he found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And on a totally different note right now, in verse 41, where Jesus says the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak, according to the context, that's not just saying that the flesh is naturally weak, but as we read in the context, the disciples were physically tired. Now, back to the lesson. Now, if we were to continue reading through this account, we would read about how Jesus goes to the Father in prayer 3 times. And all 3 times he comes back, he finds the disciples asleep. But sleeping is not the reason. But now sleeping is not the reason why they were getting in trouble that night. The reason is because Jesus had told them to watch and pray. And notice with me the biggest difference between Jesus and Peter that night. The biggest difference is that while Peter was not watching and praying that night, our Lord, on the other hand, was watching and praying. And that's what kept him from falling into temptation that night. My brethren, prayer should be the key of the day and the lock of the night. Now, continuing on into verse 69 of Matthew chapter 26. Verse 69 of Matthew chapter 26. The Bible reads, "Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, 'You also were with Jesus of Galilee.' But he denied it before them all, saying, 'I do not know what you are saying.' And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, 'This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth.' But again, he denied with an oath, 'I do not know the man.' And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, 'Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you.' Then he began to curse and swear, saying, 'I do not know the man.' Immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus who had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Now concerning the passages of scripture that was just read earlier and now in our hearing, this is a very saddening passage of scripture. Why? Well, because as mentioned earlier, Peter started off seeking the truth. He started off having true biblical faith, and he started off being close with the Lord. But he went from all that in just one night. It's like he threw all that out the window. And he that night, he basically called our Lord a liar that night, and he denied him. And you may be asking, how? How did he call him a liar? Well, according to verse 31, Jesus would tell the disciples that all of them were going to be made to stumble that night. But Peter would say, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. And on top of that, Jesus would then tell Peter, "Assuredly, I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And then Peter had the audacity to say, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And we see right there how he was calling our Lord a liar, because our Lord would tell him exactly what's going to happen, but then there kicks in the pride of life, and he says, no, no, Lord, I know more. We do not need to follow after that example. And then on top of that, later that night, Peter would go off to cut off the right ear of the high priest's servant, whose name was Malchus. And finally, that night, Peter would end up denying our Lord altogether, which is a very saddening thing to read about. And whenever I was reading about this, I couldn't help but think about the attempts that we've been making to try to reach our brethren who have gone astray. Because remember, at one point, they were all in the fold. And this brings to remembrance what the Hebrews writer would write in Hebrews 3, starting at verse 12 through 13. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So we too, and sadly enough, sometimes we too, like the Apostle Peter, deny the Lord in our lives by our words and actions. Brethren, let it not be so. Is there any questions? Okay. Well, thank you for y'all's time. Go ahead. Go ahead. Okay.
Therefore, let him thank his sins, take heed lest he fall. Just in reference to your note on Matthew 26, verse 33, God, pride making us humble.
Okay. Thank you, brother. Thank you. And I'm going to be coming back in the invitation and giving y'all the third point on how Peter got back up. Because as God gives us hope at the end, I want to follow after that example. Thank you. Now, to give y'all some motivation as we depart, how did Peter get back up? Well, I'm so glad that you asked. In Luke 22, starting at verse 31, I'll wait for y'all to turn there with me. In Luke 22, starting at verse 31 through 32, the Bible reads, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." And the King James Version has a stronger set of words. The King James Version says, "When thou art converted," that converted means when you turn back, when you come back to me, Simon. And now, in John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17, we read about when Peter came back and was converted. In John chapter 21, starting at verse 15. John 21, starting at verse 15. In which the Bible reads, "Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Now, we've read about how Jesus had told Peter to come back, and when he is converted, to strengthen the brethren. To strengthen the brethren. And though he be dead, though it is roughly 2,000 years later, Peter is still strengthening the flock to this day. And we find this strength in the books of 1st and 2nd Peter. In the books of 1st and 2nd Peter. And I would like y'all to turn to 1st Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 11. Starting at verse 11. Now, to those who have gone astray but are here tonight, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2 at verse 11, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshy lust which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation in Jesus, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." And to those of you who have not obeyed the gospel, and it may be just because simply you don't know the scriptures, I would like to open up the scriptures to you and just show you through the life of Peter on how you can become a child of God tonight. We read about in John 1 verses 41 through 42, you must seek the truth like Peter. And not only that, but we read about in Luke 5 and verse 11 that you must forsake all and follow him. If there's anything that is hindering you from becoming a child of God tonight, won't you cast all your cares upon God, for he cares for you, and won't you follow the Lord? Last of all, we read in Acts 2 and verse 38, which came from the mouth of Peter himself, in which the Bible reads, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, won't you come forward as we together stand and sing?